Good morning and welcome to our worship service today on this Trinity Sunday. Trinity is a Sunday in which we, in particular, celebrate and commemorate our one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We begin our worship service today then with a prayer to the triune God. Dear Heavenly Father, we glorify you for preserving us in this life and for sending your Son to be our Savior. Dear Jesus, Son of God, we praise you for the salvation you won for us. O Holy Spirit, we thank you for bringing us to life through faith. Come to us, strengthen us, keep us, and work mightily in us through the Word in our worship service today. In your saving name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We begin our service with our first hymn. It can be found in your TAN worship supplements. We'll sing hymn 798, God We Praise You. I invite you to please rise. We'll follow along with our order of service as it's printed for you in your service bulletin. Our readings, our order of service, and our hymns are all printed there in the bulletin for you. We begin on the top of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against You in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved You above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. Almighty and everlasting God, You have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity and to confess and worship You, the one true God. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For You, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. First reading for this Trinity Sunday is taken from the Old Testament book of Isaiah the prophet. We read from chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, the vision Isaiah had of God's throne room. The readings and our sermon today all mention the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This Old Testament verse does not mention the Trinity by name, but when you hear the words holy, 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 that is not insignificant. Three holies, likely a reference to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We read from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above Him stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. With two they flew. One called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. The whole earth is full of His glory." The foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of the one who called, and the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, "I am doomed. I am ruined because I am a man with unclean lips, and I dwell among a people with unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, carrying a glowing coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with a coal and said, "Look, this has touched your lips, so your guilt is taken away and your sin is forgiven." Then I heard the Lord's voice saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." Our gospel reading for this Trinity Sunday are the words of Jesus from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. "Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are mentioned in this section from John as well, and contained in these verses is that familiar gospel passage of John 3:16. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these miraculous signs you are doing unless God is with him." Jesus replied, "Amen, amen, or truly, truly, I tell you, unless someone is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Amen, amen, I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be surprised when I tell you that you must be born from above. The wind blows where it pleases. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." "How can these things be?" asked Nicodemus. "You are the teacher of Israel," Jesus answered, "and you do not know these things? Amen, amen, I tell you, we speak what we know and we testify about what we have seen, but you people do not accept our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Here ends our scripture readings. Congregation may remain seated. On Trinity Sunday, it is customary for us to recite one of the historic creeds, the longest of the historic creeds, that is the Athanasian Creed. We'll be reciting portions of that creed today, and I'll read the introduction to the creed that's printed for you on the middle of page 5 in your bulletin. The Athanasian Creed. This creed is named after St. Athanasius, a staunch defender of the Christian faith in the 4th century. It was prepared to assist the church in combating two errors that undermined Bible teaching. One error denied that God's Son and the Holy Spirit are of one being or Godhead with the Father. The other error denied that Jesus is true God and true man in one person. The Athanasian Creed continues to serve the Christian church as a confession of our faith in the one true triune God. As we read through this creed together, look for indications that this creed is what it's confessing, that we believe in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that we believe in Jesus, true God and true man. The creed begins on the bottom of page 5. "Now this is the true Christian faith. We worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, without mixing the persons or dividing the divine being. For each person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is distinct, but the deity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is one, equal in glory and co-eternal in majesty. What the Father is, so is the Son, and so is the Holy Spirit. The Father is uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father is infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father is eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. Yet they are not three who are eternal, but there is one who is eternal. Just as they are not three who are uncreated, nor three who are infinite, but there is one who is uncreated and one who is infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit is almighty. Yet they are not three who are almighty, but there is one who is almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, yet they are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord, yet they are not three lords, but one Lord. For just as Christian truth compels us to confess each person individually to be God and Lord, so the true Christian faith forbids us to speak of three gods or three lords. The Father is neither made nor created nor begotten of anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but is begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeds from the Father and the Son. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And within this Trinity, none comes before or after, none is greater or inferior, but all three persons are co-equal and co-eternal, so that in every way, as stated before, all three persons are to be worshipped as one God, and one God worshipped as three persons. Whoever wishes to be saved must have this conviction of the Trinity. It is furthermore necessary for eternal salvation truly to believe that our Lord Jesus Christ also took on human flesh. Now this is the true Christian faith. We believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, is both God and man. He is God, eternally begotten from the nature of the Father, and he is man, born in time from the nature of his mother. Fully God, fully man, with rational soul and human flesh. Equal to the Father as to his deity, less than the Father as to his humanity. And though he is both God and man, Christ is not two persons, but one. One not by changing the deity into flesh, but by taking the humanity into God. One indeed, not by mixture of the natures, but by unity in one person. For just as the rational soul and flesh are one human being, so God and man are one Christ. He suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from there will come to judge the living and the dead. This is the true Christian faith. Whoever does not faithfully and firmly believe this cannot be saved. Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Romans chapter 8. We read verses 14 through 18. Indeed, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery so that you are afraid again, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we call out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself joins our spirit in testifying that we are God's children. Now if we are children, we are also heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, since we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I conclude that our sufferings at the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed in us. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. When you think about God, what comes to mind? What are some thoughts or maybe some words that come to mind when you think about God and who he is, what he is like? Maybe words like almighty, loving, forgiving, all-knowing, ever-present, holy, eternal. When you think about God, do you think about just how great he is? Our God is so great. In fact, the scriptures remind us that the depth of his wisdom, the depths of his judgments and his ways are absolutely unsearchable. They're beyond us. They're past what we can find out and understand. Even his very nature as God is impossible for us to fully grasp and understand. God has revealed himself to us in the Bible as clearly one, but as also three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How can that be possible? How can there be three persons and yet one God? And this is the part that's the most mind-blowing for me, that each one of those persons is fully and completely God and not missing anything. It is unsearchable, isn't it? It hurts your brain kind of just to think about it. Can you completely understand it? I can't. And we never actually will in this lifetime, not on this side of heaven. We can describe the nature of God. We do our best. We use words like Trinity or Triune, which means three in one. And we can try to explain him, but we will never fully be able to comprehend God. So as much as that makes our brain hurt, sometimes it can trouble us a little bit, especially if we are a deep thinker, it should also bring us comfort. It's a good thing. Agree? Well, if he wasn't unfathomable, if he wasn't completely unfathomable to us, if we could fully understand him or come close to understanding God, then that would mean that God really isn't that much greater than us at all. I don't know about you, but if God were only as impressive as us, or just a little bit more impressive than us, that really isn't much of a God. The God who sustains all things, controls all things, keeps the universe going, had better be a whole lot more intelligent, a whole lot more powerful, a whole lot more holy, a whole lot more just in his judgments and ways than you and I are. He'd better be just plain incomprehensible to our feeble little minds. So personally, I try to remember and remind myself that the fact that God is unfathomable is a great comfort. And the more I have done sermons on Trinity Sunday or dove into the teaching of the Bible on the Trinity, the more it is a comfort to me. It's a good reminder for me and for all of us, especially on Trinity Sunday, as we confess once again that very long creed that we just confessed. It has a lot of repetition, but really drives home the point of who God is, the Athanasian Creed that we just recited. I try and remember that God being incomprehensible and unfathomable to us is a reason to not only find comfort in Him, but also to thank Him for who He is. It's a reminder that I am way down here, and God is way up here. It's not like, oh, here we are, and here is God. It is an unfathomable distance between us and God. He's much greater than we are, much wiser than we are, and much more deserving of our confidence than we are. So fortunately, especially on a Sunday like this, where we read and recite some pretty challenging and difficult things, it's a comfort to us to remember that we are not called upon by God to fully comprehend Him. Can you imagine if the Bible said that? He who can fully comprehend God will be saved. Which of us would be saved? None of us. When He reveals Himself to in His Word, He calls us to believe in Him. We remember that from the words of John 3:16. And yet, despite all of God's greatness, despite His unsearchableness, despite the unfathomable wisdom that God has and His nature as true God that simply blows our minds, He has made Himself approachable. He's made Himself accessible. And He's even chosen to make each one of us a member of His family. He's invited us, in fact, to call Him Father. Notice that Paul mentions each person of the Trinity in our text for today. He mentions the Father, he mentions the Son, and he mentions the Holy Spirit, and he reminds us that each person of the Trinity had a hand in making us members of God's family. His words remind us of the incredible fact that the one true God is our God. The Father created us and adopted us into His family by giving us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who brought us to faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, through His Holy Word. And this, Paul says, is the proof that we are children of God. Listen again to verses 14 and 16 of our text. He says, indeed, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. He uses the word for sons there because, remember, those were the ones who were the inheritors in Paul's day. The Spirit Himself joins our spirit in testifying that we are God's children. Just think about what that means. Think of the fact that we are children of God and think of the implications that has for your life, what that means for you and for me. I must admit that's a blessing I probably take for granted all too often. I'm so used to hearing it in the Word of God, so used to believing it from little on that I'm a child of God that we sometimes take it for granted. Maybe forget about what that means for us. Well, let Paul's words here remind us. He says, you did not receive a spirit of slavery so that you are afraid again, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we call out Abba, Father. So the fact that we are the adopted children of God should first of all completely wipe out our slavery to our fears. I like to use an illustration like this when we talk about being children of God. If you think about if you were the son or daughter of a very powerful earthly father, let's say your father was King David in the Old Testament or some other incredibly powerful ruler in history, would you be worried at night as you laid your head on your pillow, I wonder if the house is going to get broken into? Would you be really concerned about that? Your father's the king and he has many guards, a very well-fortified palace. You're probably not too concerned about your safety. You're a child of the king. Or what if your father was some Silicon Valley billionaire? Are you going to go out your days worrying, where's my next meal going to come from? Where am I going to find the money to pay for my bills? No. Your dad's a billionaire. He's going to take care of it. Well, our dad is God Himself. He loves us. He cares for us. He has adopted us, which means he has chosen us as his sons and his daughters. In fact, we're so near and dear to him that Paul uses a phrase that addresses God like a child would address their father. He says, Abba, Father. And that word Abba is the Aramaic word for father, and an expression that's been said is an affectionate term for father, sort of like in English we would say daddy or dad. Do we need to fear that? God is our father. He is our dad. Do we need to worry? Not with God as our father. We can cast all our cares and all our fears on him. We can rest our lives and our very souls in his loving, powerful, very capable arms and come to him as boldly and confidently as dear children ask their dear father, as Martin Luther once explained it in his catechism. But being children of God has more incredible benefits than just love, protection, and provision. Paul reminds us in the last verses of our text, now if we are children, we are also heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, since we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. If we are children of God, then that makes Jesus Christ our brother. And whatever Christ has received from the Father will also be given to us as an inheritance. Well, how do you get an inheritance? First of all, an inheritance is a gift. It's freely given. It's unearned, it's undeserved by the one who is inheriting it. Usually comes to you just because you are related to someone. Usually it's a family member or a relative who passes away. And then that's the other part. Usually your inheritance comes to you after someone dies. Jesus died in our place on the cross. And his death and resurrection has earned our inheritance for us. Maybe you have received an inheritance at some point in your life. Maybe it was a treasured keepsake from a loved one, something that makes you remember them and you're glad to have it. It's a deep remembrance of them. Perhaps it's a sum of money. Maybe it's a large sum of money you received as an inheritance at one point. Well, what is the inheritance we receive from our Heavenly Father? It's much greater than that. It is the kingdom of heaven itself. So by Jesus' suffering and death, he has made us heirs with him of heaven. But wait a minute, doesn't Paul also say, since we suffer with him, since we suffer with Jesus, so that we may also be glorified with him? Yes, we know and we experience suffering in this life from time to time. We go through difficulties, and some of the suffering is because we are children of God. Because we are confessors of our faith in Jesus and proclaim his name and live by faith according to his word. But don't worry, even though we do at times suffer with him, Paul reminds us we suffer with him that we may also be glorified with him. Is that going to be worth it? Well, Paul's last words to us in this text, in the very last verse, say this, "For I conclude that our sufferings at the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us." When is that glory going to be revealed to us? Of course, he's speaking there of heaven. That is how incredible our inheritance in heaven is going to be. It's not even worth comparing to the sufferings and difficulties we go through in this life. So yes, the triune God is unsearchable. He's even unreachable by us mortal human beings. But fortunately, we also know he is all-loving and all-merciful, and he has reached down to us. We can say the one true God is our God. He's called us his children. We call him Abba, Father, through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Faith which was created in us by God's Holy Spirit, who himself joins our spirit in testifying that we are God's children. when we think about our God, when we think about how truly great He is, may we also think about the blessings we have in Him and respond with thankfulness in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We bring special prayers to our Father's throne today, not just for Trinity Sunday, but also for Memorial Day, remembering those who gave their lives in the service of our country. Are there any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Savior Jesus Christ, on this day, this weekend that we set aside to honor those who have died in the service of our great country, we thank you for their bravery, their service, and their sacrifice. We thank you for giving us such dedicated and patriotic citizens and a country that chooses to remember them. We ask you, dear Lord, to be with the families and loved ones of those who have given their lives and be their comfort today and always. We also thank you today for the saints who have gone before us in your service and have preserved for us the rich heritage of your gospel. We remember the blessings you gave to them and the blessings you gave to us through them. We praise and thank you, dear Savior, who gave yourself for us in the ultimate sacrifice for our sins on the cross. Holy, holy, holy is your name, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our hearts sing the praise of your name, dear Heavenly Father, for you are our Creator and Preserver. We remember your great love for us in sending your own Son, offering him up for our eternal redemption. Our hearts sing your praise, dear Savior Jesus, for the love with which you loved us in sacrificing yourself and dying on the cross for our sins. In you, the Son of God and Son of Man, we find hope, joy, and peace. We find in you eternal salvation. Our hearts sing the praise of your name, dear Holy Spirit, for you have revealed God's truth to mankind, and through it have called us to faith and forgiveness. Without your continual sanctifying work in us through the gospel, we could neither grow in our faith nor walk pleasing to God by keeping his commandments. O triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you now and forever for your marvelous works and for the undeserved love and mercy which you continually show toward us. And so we ask you to hear us when we pray. Forgive our sins for the sake of Jesus who has redeemed us. Forgive us for failing to worship and serve you as we ought. Let your hand of blessing be upon us when we call upon you in truth. Nourish us and strengthen us when we become faint. Strengthen us when we are weak. Cheer us lest we become depressed with the troubles of life. Hold us up lest we stumble beneath the burdens that afflict us. Direct our physical and spiritual footsteps, lest we falter and choose the wrong paths. Bring us sweet relief from our pains and illnesses. Where there is encouragement needed by anyone, let the Word of God apply balm and healing to their hearts. When we need patience in bearing our crosses, teach us our Savior's own example of enduring suffering. Refresh our memories with all the good things that you continually do for us, and open our lips to praise you for them. Lead us to daily search your word, that we might be warned and instructed by its precepts, and our souls inspired with its message of divine grace and salvation. Always be near us to guard us and protect us from sin and unbelief, that the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh may have no power over us. Make us victorious Christians who are always faithful to your word and faithful to our calling, and most of all, faithful to you. Give us all needed blessings for our bodies and souls, and do not, on account of our sins, withhold your help from us. In Jesus' name we pray these things, as we pray in his name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, O Blessed Holy Trinity. Please rise. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond by singing the doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our service with our last hymn, Father Most Holy. I invite you to stand for the last verse.
merciful and tender, Jesus our Savior, with the Father reigning, Spirit of comfort, Advocate, Defender, Light never waning. Trinity blessed, unity unshaken, goodness unbounded, very God of heaven, light of the angels, joy of those forsaken, hope of all living. Maker of all things, all thy creatures praise thee, all for thy worship were and are created. Now as we also worship thee devoutly, hear thou our voices. Unto thee be glory, one in three persons, over all exalted. Glory we offer, praise thee and adore thee, now and
today, after our service, we'll be having our choir practice at 11 here up at the front of church. This afternoon, I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service at 1 p.m. Bible class will be held there at 2. For this week, tomorrow is, of course, Memorial Day. That means there is no school at SSLS. School resumes on Tuesday morning. Tuesday, we have our church council meeting at 7 p.m. via Zoom. Wednesday and Friday, confirmation class with Natalie, and you'll note in the bulletin her confirmation service is coming up soon on June 9th. She'll be taking her final exam on the 5th of June, and then be ready for a confirmation on the 9th, and you'll see the schedule there in the bulletin. Her oral examination will be in the Bible class hour at 9 a.m., and then the worship service will include her confirmation June 9th. This Thursday, I'll be heading to Stockton for our worship service at Oakmont Senior Living at 2 p.m., and then to Sacramento for our worship service and visits there at Forever Easter House at 4:30. Next Sunday, our Bible class is at 9 a.m. Worship service with communion next Sunday will be at 10 a.m., and then a reminder, next Sunday, our voters meeting with our annual budgets will be held. Voters, of course, are encouraged to come to the meeting, but also our congregation is invited to join us to sit in on that meeting as well. That will take place after the service at 11 a.m. We are rapidly approaching the end of the school year. One of the events that we always look forward to is the end of the school play on our family fun night. That will be Thursday, June 6th at 6:30. And our play this year is a series of funny skits entitled Hurry Up and Wait. So please come and join us for that on June 6th. There are subscriptions that are available for our church body's magazine, The Lutheran Spokesman. If you would like to renew your subscription or start a new one, there is a sign-up sheet in the entryway on the table. Please either mark the box that says renew, or if you want to get a new subscription, please write your name in. We need to get those all registered by Sunday, June 16th, so we can get it in before the deadline. And each family in our congregation receives a daily rest subscription. If you would like to sign up for an additional one, please sign the sheet or speak with me if you have any questions. A quick update about our Vacation Bible School at the end of July. This year it will be July 22nd through 26th. We have added a second volunteer teacher. We have Isaac's sister Sam coming to help teach, and then my nephew Grant is coming to teach as well. So we're kind of keeping it in the family this year for our volunteers from the Midwest. They are coming to help teach for our Vacation Bible School. So far we have approximately 16 signed up for VBS, so we're looking forward to those days in July. Any other announcements for today? I feel like that was plenty. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.